Chapter 71. Darrow. Ashvar. I do not believe in gods, but that didn't stop me from praying during my time in the belly of the Leviathan. I prayed for Lyria. I prayed for her safety to relieve my own guilt for sending her. I prayed for her success because it would mean that the spirit of Ragnar might still live on in Volga. I prayed to not be met with a barrage of gunfire as soon as I exited the stomach that has been my home, since Diomedes convinced the Calabar to let their sigil beast swallow my friends and me whole in the acid-resistant pods we've lived in for 3 terrible days. All that prayer calmed the mind, but if I've learned anything by now, it's that only a fool relies on prayer alone. Dripping with gastric acid and blood, I marched toward the high table with Severo and Cassius on my flanks. They are as heavily armed and armored as I am. In God-killer, all. Behind us, the reds who carved at the Leviathan howl like maniacs. Pinks scatter. Low-color servers and slaves evaporate, leaving only the actors in my play. Far, Volga, the Jarls, Lyria, I thank the fates she is alive, and bodyguards. Lots of bodyguards. They swarm in from the fringes of the garden to kill us. Far roars for them to hold because Severo's rifle shot was true. "Halt, or the ugly bastard dies!" Severo screams and holds up a detonator. A dart protrudes from the Far's bare chest. He reaches for it, and a red light glows from the end of its explosive payload. He freezes and lowers his hands, and, resigned to watch me approach, like a pit fire watches a drill boy draw closer. Swollen with poison and discontent, eyes seething a possessive hatred out from his lair in the rocks. Yet Far's lair is not made of rock. It is made of men, and men have ears. "Volsung Far, king of all liars! I am Darrow of Mars, Arch-Imperator of the Republic, Tir Morga of the Volk, and I have been wronged. You have waged war on my planet. You have enslaved my red people. You have sullied the name of my brother Ragnar. You have killed my sister Sephi. You have taken my army like a thief in the night to corrupt their honor. I claim holy vendetta against you. I claim Ashvar." I stop 10 paces from Far and thrust up my left gauntlet. In it, I clutch a chunk of coal that I wipe on my brow in the mark of the Norse war god Tyr. In the old obsidian way, any wanderer so marked abdicates any worldly concerns except the resolution of their vendetta. They are to be given hospitality and immunity by all, for they have set their life on a mission to rectify their honor in one-on-one violence to the death. No one speaks. The bodyguards slow and encircle us. As many as 50 in the black armor with the blood crescent, all Eskimani, I note. At the table behind Far, my old warlords are frozen in existential confusion. None have so much as stood, but various mouths hang agape. The Eskimani are a different story. Dissuaded by distance and pirates, ships may seldom travel to the Kuiper Belt, but radio and light waves are not similarly constrained. A decade's worth of broadcasts has heralded my slingblade, my face, my great war against the hated Golds. To a warrior race banished from the sun by gold, I am a natural celebrity, and my arrival via the Leviathan is a religious experience. They throw up their hands in gratitude to their Allfather, praising the darkness between the stars for giving them this gift. What more worthy foe could the Allfather summon to face their invincible Far? Surely it is a miracle I have emerged from their sacrifice, bringing not the awkward grinding of armies, but a clean fight, a test of Far's divine favor. I rolled the dice, and they came up sixes. Even Far looked surprised by the exultation and the joy on the Eskimani faces. His surprise turns to anger as he realizes the bind he is in. Volga has shed the gauntlet. She pulls Lyria to the side, distancing herself from Far. He frowns after her and lifts his hand. His bodyguards shout for silence. It does not fall at once. Many of the Askamani finish their prayers to their Allfather before heeding their mortal ruler.
"Only an obsidian can claim Ashvar," Far says. "You are no obsidian. You are not even a red any longer, Darrow. The gold in your eyes has leaked into your heart. False prophet, even your tongue is rotted. I know why you are here. You are the thief. Come here to steal the power of the Volk for your own selfish aims."
He gestures to the dart.
"You are lower than an assassin. Ragnar would weep to see how far you have fallen."
"Glomnar, Fjod, Skarda," I call to jarls I recognize. "You were there when I was made a son of the Volk beneath the Valkyrie spires and the high stables. You saw the blood of Sefi meet mine. You saw the blood the griffin offered to stain the snow. You called me brother and gave me the touch of life. Do you deny me now?"
I thought they would rise up and support my claim. Fjord, because his conservative bloc must be chafing against Far's decadence. Glumnar, because he served as my personal attaché for years. Skarda, because Sigurd lies dead on the ground. To my dismay, they remain silent, even Skarda. The shame on his face is total. Is their fear of Far so deep, or is it their distrust of me? Have I fallen so far in their eyes? I have. Not one speaks for me. They look down at their plates or into their wine. Fear holds them in its grip. Severo sneers.
"Cowards! Does not one of you have any balls?"
"Should we run?" Cassius asks. "That's always an option. I can snag Lyria and..." "No," I whisper, eyes on Skarda.
"Come now,"
Far coos, emboldened.
"If there is a man here who claims the false prophet as their brother, let them speak. Let your voice ring clear so that I might hear you. And may you stand tall so that I might see your face and know you speak not just for yourself, but for your kin and tribe, down to the children amongst them."
I see Lyria's eyes and see in them fear for me. Volga is unreadable. And then a man stands. Though he is a fine warrior, the only thing he is more famous for than his greed or his cleverness is his cowardice. It is Skarda, and his face is calm, his temper even.
"I have no kin left to speak for. But I will stand tall so you might see my face, great king. I will let my voice ring clear so that you might hear me, great king. When you sentenced my son to death, I did not object. When your granddaughter delivered the sentence, I did not object. For my son, whom I adored, broke the laws of our people and went against his king. But when I see that king disregard those very laws, the laws that bound a father to silence as his son had his heart ripped out, not 5 minutes later, to that I fear I must object."
Every single obsidian jarl turns to look at Skarda.
"A warrior must say what he knows to be true. Every jarl of the Valkyr bore witness to or has heard of Darrow's acceptance into the tribe of the Valkyrie spires. We did call him brother for many years, and according to the laws we follow..."
He points to his son's body.
Darrow is afforded the same rights as any brave of the Volk. And any brave of the Volk, even if they be our enemy, may declare Ashvar. You may choose a champion, my king, but you may not say no and keep your throne. And if your champion is beaten, we must kill you ourselves.
He splays out his hands as if he's sorry, but it cannot be helped.
That is the law of the ice. That is the way of the Volk. You are above us, but not our people's law.
Then the man's eyes twinkle, and I know he hates Far with all his cunning heart.
He's not done yet. I am no shaman, but surely, my invincible king, this is a propitious sign. Tir Morga came from the sacrifice. Is this not a sign that the All-Father blesses this fight? Surely his death at your hand will wash away all doubt held by your Volk as to the dangers of the attack on the deep. Kill the past.
His lips twist, and he spares a glance to Volga.
For the All-Father.
To make sure the stiletto really goes in, he translates the last part in the Askamani tongue. At least I think so, because the Askamani go wild. Skarda faced several courts-martial in my legions. He escaped every one without having to hire a copper lawyer. His argument to the Jarls is as shrewd and cynical as it is effective. He cannot betray Far outright without losing face and undermining his own conclusion. So he used the very traditions that bind the Volk and the very weapon Far uses to uphold his throne. Religion. Obsidians do not think it right to criticize their ruler unless they are willing to fight their ruler. It creates a cult of silence. By the heads nodding, I see to my joy that the obsidians are not all lost in darkness. Skarda speaks for many of them. Volga watches from the side with shame on her face, fear for Fa, and fear of me. Fjord is the second to find his courage. The hirsute, semi-deranged Jarl slams the heft of his hammer into the ground twice and roars for Fa to fight. Then the whole block of conservative Jarls joins the famous madman. Then Glumnar and Uther and many of the rest. The Askamani were just waiting to take up the call, cheering for their king to embrace the All-Father's gift. Trapped by the religion he fed to his subjects and the martial code he used to seize the throne, Fa has no choice but to acquiesce. The Askamani sing in joy.
I accept your Ashvar,
Fa rumbles. I nod to several, and the dart's payload deactivates. Fa plucks out the dart and picks his teeth with it.
Since I have honored your right, you must honor mine.
All quiet. The danger to a challenger is severe. It comes when the challenge chooses the terms of the fight. They always favor their strengths. Weapons, I ask.
Honorable.
Field.
Dome.
Panoply. He smiles with freshly picked teeth.
Full metal.